Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. What's going on? Lance, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I can't hear you. How's your voice?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's your voice?
Not good.
What's the matter?
I don't know.
Do you got the Rona?
No, don't have Corona, just don't have a voice.
Just don't have a voice. Lance, you have a voice, okay?
Do you have it yet?
I want you to use it today.
Yeah, you ain't going to get a lot.
No?
I wish you the best today.
You want to do Philip Rivers today?
Mm-mm. No, I didn't talk from about 10 o'clock last night up until...
Well, I would hope not. You're sleeping.
No, that's incorrect also.
Oh. Huh. Wow. So you stopped talking at about 10 o'clock last night? That's what most of us do anyway.
Or 9:30, I guess, something like that. Until just now. This is the first time I've spoken is when I turned the mic on.
Nice. Good for you. You didn't even say hello to Dell. Did you hug him?
Nope.
You guys didn't see each other all weekend. Did you see him all weekend? Did you guys get together? Dell, you didn't see Lance?
No.
Oh.
Why would
I? My words are not for the bullcorn today. I'm going to be efficient with them.
You're going to be efficient with your words?
Yeah.
If
you ask me things like, did I hug Dell this weekend, I'm not wasting words.
You just did. Here's the deal. What do you want to talk about? The baseball negotiations? Do you want to talk about? Well, I don't want to talk
just
about
get to golf. Wall. Just get to golf.
Okay. Webb Simpson. Did you see him birdie 17 to win 22 under the RBC Heritage, his seventh title?
Lance, do you have a list of things that you haven't seen or don't want to talk about so I can fill in so you don't have to waste whatever precious voice you have, because we can make a list and John can go talk about golf and I know you probably don't care so much and I can chime in like, John, no one cares, so you don't have to waste your words.
Well, I actually watched that one.
You can talk about this one.
Yeah, I actually watched that when I was at my father-in-law's house, although it took forever. I mean, actually, I didn't watch it at all at his house. I watched the 2019 version because that's what they were playing because of the weather delay.
Huh. Well, isn't that something? I am looking at a list here, guys, of the AFC South. The AFC South, the best player on each AFC South team at every position. Who do you think in the AFC South was the player of the decade?
JJ.
JJ was the player of the decade. Congratulations. Honorable mention, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, three Defensive Player of the Year awards. Go find that in NFL history.
Right. The quarterback of the decade in the AFC South.
Peyton. Oh, no, the decade.
No.
Not quite.
No, not quite. He
it's
was
not
already.
Deshaun.
Nope. Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew Luck. The defensive end of the decade was Calais Campbell.
Who?
Tight end. Was Delaney Walker. The coach of the decade in the AFC South.
You know who it is.
Is it?
You know who it is, Lance. And you're not going to give him credit for it.
My voice. I got to save my words.
You're going to save your words? You don't want to say Bill O'Brien? You don't want to say the name Bill O'Brien.
I was going to say Wade Phillips.
He wasn't the coach of the decade, no. The coach of the decade, the head coach of the decade, was Bill O'Brien. Congratulations to Bill, named coach of the decade, putting up a banner. Coach of the decade in the AFC South.
Won the AFC South 2 years in a row.
And he did. Arian Foster was the running back of the decade. Andre Johnson, one wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins was the other. Dwayne Brown was the left tackle. Wade Smith was the right guard of the decade.
You're mentioning a lot of Texans, which would mean this last decade has been filled with championships and accolades, because a lot of Texans are being mentioned as the decade in the AFC South. Well, did any of those result in, like, an AFC title game appearance?
Zero championships.
Or even an AFC title game appearance?
Yeah.
Are the Texans most mentioned on this list?
Yeah, the Titans were in the AFC title game.
What I'm saying, the Texans, all these mentions of the Texans, did they make an AFC title game?
No, but they get to the point, they win the AFC South. I don't know if you just heard Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, not one. No, your answer, Dell, not one.
Because I'm hearing a lot of Texans being mentioned.
Ever.
Not as many other players from other teams being mentioned, and all those other teams have made an AFC title game this decade, or the previous decade, however you want to describe it.
Yeah. That's all right. Huh. You don't have to make – no, it's not about making championship games. It's about being great.
Who made this list?
This list was made by people.
Well, I assume that.
But NFL Nation at ESPN. NFL Nation made it, so it's never been refuted.
Wow.
It can't be refuted.
I mean,
it's like, yeah, it's like shade. Can't refute it.
I'm just thrilled that the Texans can be mentioned so much.
Yeah. J.J., Jadavian, Jonathan Joseph, and Shane Leckler all made the list as well. So there. Mm-hmm. How about that?
They have the coach of the decade, all those players of the decade.
Mm-hmm. And all those titles.
Are they the team of the decade in AFC South?
Oh, I don't know that. They probably are. If you want to know the truth, they probably have. I mean, how could you put the Titans there? Maybe the Colts. Maybe the Colts were the team of the decade. I would. That's tough to say. The Colts did get to the AFC title game with luck, right?
Correct.
The Titans got to the AFC title game last year. The Jags got to the AFC title game with Bortles and actually led the Patriots in the fourth quarter by 10. and the Texans almost were right there on the cusp. Right there.
Well, they were up 24 to nothing.
The answer, Dell, zero.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
did that list make you feel better or worse about the Texans?
That list made me feel, yeah, they're underachieving just a hair.
Every team other than Texans got to the title game, yes.
Well, that's correct. That's all right.
That's
okay.
Correct.
No, that's all right. We won the AFC South. Look at all the banners. Oh, like you guys didn't enjoy the parade?
Well, this
AFC
really
South
does
parade?
Tell you how weak the division's been relative to. Now, look, the AFC East has been extraordinarily weak. Other than one team for much of this time as well. Although the Jets, I'm trying to remember. The turn of the decade didn't really treat the Jets all that well.
What's funny, though, is that the AFC South gets multiple teams in the playoffs. More than a few times that last decade.
Who's that, the South?
The South.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's right in the mediocre. It's like the Texans. It's right there in the middle of the pack. It's right there in the middle. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's right there in the middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what the Texans are perfect for the AFC South. The AFC South is a 40-degree day.
I was explaining that. See, I thought, yeah. See, here, like I say, here it's like an 80-degree day. 40-degree in Maryland, or wherever there was in the wire in Maryland.
Baltimore, yep.
Baltimore.
Yeah. 40-degree day is freaking cold here. 80-degree day is like,
No, 80-degree day little, is perfect.
It's not nice. It's not hot necessarily. It could be hotter. Could be better. The 40-degree day thing never, as somebody from the actual South, that never, that whole thing on the wire never made a tremendous amount of sense to me. I'm like, 40? Man, that's a, when did the cold front move in? My dad was asking, I told him yesterday he said, what are you going to do for Father's Day? And I said, I'm going to watch my soccer team play, Everton. And you know, as expected, he didn't have a, yeah, it was a big win for us, 0-0. We'll take it against Liverpool. But he said, you know, as anticipated, he wasn't extraordinarily excited about that for me. And he said, so how, where'd you get this? Where'd you start watching? I said, basically I follow the Texans of soccer. I said, and I explained to him, they're always in the middle of the pack. And I goes, yeah, that sounds like the Texans. I said, yeah, that's who they are. About, you know, 9 and don't let all those division titles fool you. Go look at the records and you start seeing. There's a couple good ones. There's a couple good ones here recently. You know, there's a couple good records. They had the one good into the season. But no, it's, you know, but I don't disagree with a lot of the things that were voted in there. Well, whose list was that?
NFL Nation on ESPN.
Yeah, that's crowdsourced then. I don't really disagree with a lot of the stuff in there. And no, if you who's the coach of the decade, I think you do have to say Bill O'Brien for the division.
Yeah. I mean, who else would it be?
I mean, Vrabel hasn't been there long enough. Doug Marrone had 1 year. I mean, who was there before Marrone? It doesn't Marone's even matter because it wouldn't have been them. It wouldn't have been Kubiak. He didn't do it long enough. He had 11 and 12 were good.
13, right?
10 stunk. 11 and 10 and 13 stunk. 11 and 12 were good. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
13 was a 2-win season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, you had, I guess, you know, Pagano's best year was when he was out and Bruce Arians took over.
Right.
So it has to be. There is no other choice but Bill O'Brien.
That's fine. Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, why do we have to? Do we have to have now? All of a sudden, we're going to protest Bill O'Brien being the coach of the
No, decade? I'm trying to co-sign it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you see the Confederate flag?
Makes me proud.
Did you see the Confederate flag flying over the race?
I did. That's the least of the problems the race had.
No, that was a terrible weekend for the race. A noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega.
You know, I would say in most circumstances, that sounds so outlandish that you would think, is there any chance that is a plant, like a noose? And then you saw what the guy Ray Ciccarelli or whatever said last week with the, I don't know, whatever he races in those weird trucks.
Yeah.
And you just think, well, it's entirely possible. I mean, you know, you have to have access to a very particular area. There's not fans there. This has to be somebody inside of racing. This has to be somebody who works. It's not like there's a crazy fan got loose. That's not the case. That's not the case. Bubba Wallace garage area is where they, now he didn't see it. He said somebody from his crew found it.
Yeah,
but NASCAR's going to do stuff. We'll see if they have video cameras.
There's video cameras everywhere.
It's got to be. And NASCAR already said they're going to eliminate the person from the sport forever.
Well, yeah, as well they should.
Yeah, 100%.
That's an idiot move. I saw Dallas Goedert get hit in the face.
Yeah, save that one. We'll talk about that one in a second.
We got to talk.
They
about
it. They made it sound like he was at a restaurant. He wasn't.
Yeah, I know.
Restaurant.
I thought so too. I thought he was just sitting there with his mom and dad.
Yeah, thought he's having a steak and got punched in his face with his parents. Well,
I thought honestly that's how the story came out at first, that he was just sitting there and somebody came up and punched him in the face. That's not at all the case. He was in an altercation.
Yeah.
All right. 713 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. Time for me to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. I'm going to wear my Chastang Ford shirt today. Patrick got me one, and I'm like, totally, totally sweet. And here's the deal. I really love those guys. This is the best dealership that I've ever worked with. As far as caring, service, as far as making sure that everything is perfect. I mean, I'll get emails from them saying, hey, update oil change time, or hey, would you like to trade in? Because we got JT's truck worked on over there. Anything you want to do? How's that truck doing? Everything. And it's like you're – and this is what Patrick said to me. When he said, we want to – make sure that you say that you want to be part of the Chastang family, because you really do feel like it. You really feel like you're part of the Chastang family, because that's how they treat you. And you're like, well, yeah. No, listen, they've been in business since 1933. They do it. They do it right. And you will return there. I will buy another car from Chastang Ford. My buddy Chad just got another one, a beautiful truck from them. And you know what? He just says, well, I got to get a new. Where am I going? I'm going to see the Chastang people, because I love doing business with those people. And you will too. It's unbelievable, the deals that are going around right now. They've got all the new cars you need. They've also got all kinds of used cars. And they will service your vehicle. If you're worried about going there, they'll pick it up, service it, fix it, sanitize it, and bring it back. It's all a Chastang Ford. Just a wonderful dealership. You'll love doing business with them. Number one retail, number one commercial Ford truck dealership in the city of Houston. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. ChastangFord.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it looks like Dak is going to sign his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender, so we can stop talking about that now. That'd be great.
All Dak radio.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, but you know what? Just sign it, whatever. I mean, of course, Dak thinks he should be he should be paid more than Russell Wilson, because he's won so much more, because he's done so much more than Russell Wilson has. So he should be paid more, and so he needs to just sign this exclusive franchise tender and then go. Listen, next year, and I probably can't blame him. I mean, what with Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson coming due. Dude wants to be out there too and seeing what that number is going to be, because Bill O'Brien's going to be involved. Yeah. If Bill O'Brien's going to be involved, the quarterback number is going to be over $40 million.
Do you know? It's for sure. From what I heard about how the Laremy Tunsil deal went down, I mean, whatever you ask for is what you get. There's not really a lot of negotiation. You just have to play super hardball, and he will cave.
When Deshaun has what, all the cards.
Yeah, Deshaun will not pull up anywhere short of 40.
Here's the problem, though, is, okay, what about where's the salary cap going to be, though?
Doesn't matter. Bill has to get rid of everybody.
Bill, what if the salary cap is 44
million? Salary cap matter with
Deshaun will get 40 of it?
Did the salary cap matter with Laremy Tunsil?
The salary cap did not matter. Well, okay. But I think before Larry, you know, there was threats and all of that. But it may be a reality that you lose $50 million off the salary cap next year.
JJ's going. Let's cut a bunch of guys and get guys off the streets to fill in the pieces. I don't know how they do it. I know that all Deshaun has to do is just say, I'm not taking Bill O'Brien's call. Get him to get nervous, get scared. Deshaun can fire his agent. All the things Laremy Tunsil did. Just fire your agent. Don't answer his calls. Tell him you're not going to talk to him. He'll get like, why are you treating me this way? What did I ever do to you? It was like, you know, like nervous girlfriend, nervous boyfriend. Thanks for calling. Leave a message. Thanks for calling. Leave a message. Just keep pushing them through. Straight through the voicemail. Straight through the voicemail. Straight through the voicemail. $44 million. That's how it goes. Voicemail, yeah. Voicemail, voicemail, voicemail. What do I have to do? Just $44 million is what you have to do. Fine, $44 million. Boom, we got a new deal. We think it's a good deal. Both sides. We negotiated hard. He came down off his deal. We came down and we got a good deal done. We think it's good for the city. We think it's good for him. We think it's good for us. It's good for everybody. And there you go. And so we can. Can you cut that so we can just use that for when Deshaun signs, so we don't have to do a show that day? Just use that. I've already got the – it's an evergreen commentary.
But, you know, it's a, well, for you, 3 hours and 4 hours. That's only, what, 3-4 minutes?
Just put it on loop.
Oh, okay.
And then put different people's names in it.
Okay.
Every time we have a, and then I'll substitute a name and then a dollar amount when it's going to be time for contract amount.
So if you need voice rest in the middle of a segment,
yeah,
and we're talking Texans and contracts and Bill O'Brien, we can just do that.
I mean,
that.
It is. That is how it's going to go. That's how it's going to go. You, I'm telling you, John, when I heard how the Tunsil deal went down from somebody in a Tunsil side, it's like, holy crap.
He just wouldn't answer.
It was just total cave. Wouldn't, yeah. Made him talk to somebody else on the phone. Said, nope, I'm not going to talk. Just tell him I don't want to talk to him. Then they were laughing about it. And then it was like, yeah, it was, you know, he fired his agent. He got rid of his agent. I think, honestly, I think because the agent took him so far and there's an expectation that this is what it was going to be. It's not like the number's hard. You know, the number's, you know, $19 million in that neighborhood where Lane Johnson was. You know that, and I think at some point Laremy Tunsil will realize, man, I'm giving away money. I mean, all I got to do is I can do my own deal from here. I know all I got to do is play hardball with Bill O'Brien. At some point, his agent or even a friend said, you got all the cards. Listen, you want to know how bad this deal is with Laremy Tunsil? This is what NFL teams, two of them, one guy is a cap guy, said, for the Texans to sign Laremy Tunsil to a 3-year deal is criminal. To give him that much money on a 3-year deal, to not even lock in. You know, Dwayne Brown, he said, unless the Texans fundamentally don't believe that a player can be any good at tackle, even approaching the age of 30, he said, if you're going to give him that much money.
But that's wrong, though.
What's wrong? He signed a 3-year deal.
That's wrong, that you can't be effective after 30.
No, obviously that's wrong. I think he was saying that facetiously because of Dwayne Brown. He brought up Dwayne Brown.
Uh-oh.
He said they got rid of Dwayne Brown because they thought he was done. He goes, Dwayne Brown is still making Pro Bowls. He said, look how Dwayne Brown's been doing it for another 4 years, which I think it was just 3 years so far. But that was his point, is they gave up on Dwayne Brown paying him, and then they've had a lot of misery since then. They have to pay 2 firsts and a second for Tunsil. Then they make him the highest paid by over 20% in the market and only get him on a 3-year deal. A 3-year deal, that's got to be five. That's got to be a 5-year deal. So they're going to have to pay him after the 3 years are up as well, or even negotiate after two. Like, this is just, it was the length of contracts,
Lance,
not getting enough play.
Lance, you're just mad, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
You're just mad.
I don't know why I'm so mad.
Yeah. Why are you so mad?
I don't know.
I don't even know what you do, Lance. Why are you so mad?
I know. Other media members call me and they go, man, when you left, there was more comments about you being mad. Like, well, I'm not mad. I just have football questions.
I'm mad I didn't get invited because I would order Coors Light and I didn't get any.
You would have.
Now, I would have said, what would I have said? If he was buying Coors Lights and pizzas, what? Then what? Then,
well,
I would have said.
You would at one point yelled at me like, that's enough. Let the coach talk.
Yeah.
Screamed,
okay.
Like an Easterby would have been, who's that guy over there? This is a guy who's a true Texan. Who's that over there? John Granato.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You scream Houston Texan. Mm. I'm a season ticket holder, too, a proud one.
Since
have
the
you
beginning.
Sent your money in? No.
No.
Oh.
You know how insulting it would be to be called a true Texan? Like, if someone was like, man, tell you're a true Texan, I'm like, not like a state of Texan, but a Texan. I'm like,
Texan?
Man.
That hurt.
Mediocre. What are you doing? Hey, that hurts, man.
I'm middle of the pack.
You're a true Texan. What are you saying? You don't like me, I guess, if you're saying that to me. It's insulting.
It kind of is. It kind of is.
Don't ever call me that.
Well, are you coach of the decade? No.
No,
is
I would rather.
Coach of the decade?
That's different,
yes,
than being
that's
a
fair.
True Texan.
That's fair.
Right. Call
he's
me.
He's a true Texan. Through and through.
I don't know. I feel he's got a personality that doesn't really fit what the Texans initially thought they were going to be about.
Guess what? Guess what the Texans are now? They're what Bill O'Brien says they are. Okay?
Oh, definitely. He has co-opted that. They are definitely Bill O'Brien's organization now.
Oh, no question. Oh, come on. If Bill O'Brien, if you disagree with Bill O'Brien, you are out of there.
Or you're just mad.
If you disagree... You are out. Yeah, don't get mad.
You're either.
Do you think Lance will ever work for the Texans?
No.
I could. if they give me pizza.
You've already worked for them. Of course you can go back.
Why would you settle for pizza when you could get seven figures?
Oh. Just don't answer Bill O'Brien's calls when he tries to hire you.
What if everybody on the Texans fired their agents? What if Deshaun right now is like, yeah, I'm firing my agent.
I don't need an agent.
I don't really see that this – that'd be a great sign for us as a city.
That
means Deshaun's locking in.
Yeah.
If he fires his agent, that means, nice, the deal's getting ready to get done. I mean, it's not going to be
Lord.
It's not going to be team friendly, but a deal's getting done.
Goodness gracious. That would – I mean, you got to be kidding me. Everybody can fire their agent so they can get a deal
it happened
done
with
LeBron.
Usually when you fire your agent, you're gonna get what, right? A terrible deal. Remember the Master P deal? He didn't fire his agent, but Ricky Williams got an awful deal with Master P's negotiating team. Usually it's difficult. I do have to say, if you already know you're shooting at, I mean, it's not the hardest thing in the world if you get your hands on some contracts. And he had somebody else who was helping him out on a deal. But if you know what the highest paid is and you want to go above the highest paid, it's not the hardest thing in the world to do. I think the language and all that stuff, clearly Laramie has to have somebody look that over. Somebody with some experience has to look that over.
Yeah.
But I had a friend of mine who is, you know, he did Vince Young's deal, and he was Rodney was he was fairly new in the game, but Vince, everyone was worried that Vince was going to get this awful deal because he was going with a brand new agent. But what they didn't take into account is the guy doing the actual deal was my buddy who studies contracts left and right, even, you know, back then. So he didn't get a bad deal back then because Rodney did his job behind the scenes as a contract negotiator. But usually you get your ass kicked. If you're a player and do that yourself, you're going to really get taken advantage of. I've never seen it like this where a player with no agent just physically, emotionally, and financially dominates the team side, but they also don't have a full-time cap guy. Not a real, you know, I've been a cap guy for an NFL team for several years. Here's a contract. My guess is Chris Olsen would have really demanded a minimum of 4 years, probably would have pushed back to the neighborhood of at least 20. I know he wouldn't have done Randall Cobb a 3 year with two guaranteed. He wouldn't have done a 2 year contract with one guaranteed. So, and these are cap guys telling me this. They're like, these are standard. This is standard. This is pretty much standard operating procedure. You know how you have certain rules in baseball? You have certain rules in poker, right, John? This is what you do on this hand.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing. That's how it was explained to me. It's the exact same thing. In contract negotiating with football, there are certain situations that dictate certain outcomes that almost everyone, unless you have, you know, varying circumstances. And the Randall Cobb was a dead set 2 year contract where you've got an out if you're the team after one. And you don't give up a bunch of money because it's a great wide receiver draft.
Right, right. 730 ESPN 97.5. 7137. Well, that's not how you do it, Lance. Obviously, you don't know anything about it. You're just mad, and you don't know anything about contracts or trades or value or any of that
stuff
because you disagree with Bill.
Nobody does except off Kirby. Nobody around the league, nobody in a
nope. –
nobody listening, nobody – Dell doesn't know. I don't know why Dell
doesn't know anything.
Well, I'm not the one getting into arguments over a beer.
What are you mad about?
I don't get into arguments over beer.
Why are you mad, Del?
When I was invited to the Bill O'Brien, hey everybody, let's have a beer. Did I get upset? No, I just drank my beer. I said, thanks, Bill. Thanks for inviting me, Bill. Can you believe how funny Bill is? That was me.
Were you high-fiving?
I would have, but
that wasn't you.
It was the age of the Corona, so I couldn't do it. But I would have.
Oh, we were sitting close now.
I was like, man, Bill's a laugh.
Coronavirus did not exist when we were there.
Mm. I don't get mad at people.
Y'all were sitting close, huh?
Yeah, it was right next to each other. It was, yeah. There might have been a spike there. I don't know.
Mm.
Let's take a break. 713-780-3776.
We get back. We'll get to Dallas Goedert. NFL, we were told an NFL tight end got sucker punched at a restaurant. Well, sucker punched happened. It wasn't at a restaurant. We'll get to you in a second. Voice is feeling a little bit better. I think that's one of the reasons I can tell you that. You know, I can say it with my chest now. TGS Insurance is a company who is going to be able to really look out for you and in terms of saving the money that you need to save. But it's really not, it's not saving the money so much as not putting out money that you don't have to for a product that should cost you less. I know usually you say, okay, we got to cut family expenses by 20%. What are we going to cut? Cut. Forget cutting. How about you put more money back in your pocket with an A-rated insurance company? And what TGS Insurance does is they will, they've got an aggregated, A-rated insurance company, a group of them. They will take your address, shop it through their algorithm, and they will have a firm quote for you within 15 seconds. And I know you think seconds is, no, I meant seconds when I said seconds. Text the word money to 232323. They will text you back asking for your address. You give it to them, and then you are going to get within 15 seconds a response that is a firm quote for your homeowner's insurance. Find out what A-rated insurance actually costs. The average savings annually is almost $900 a year. Put more of your money back in your pocket with TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN
97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. What made you laugh, Del?
Arts.
Is Del doing funny stuff in there?
No, Del's not doing funny stuff.
Del's, do you clowning again in there, Del?
He's not clowning. It's Art's Instagram message he just sent us on Twitter.
I love that.
That's what it was. Let me ask you this real quick. I figure I'm just going to get in what I can, and when the voice craps out, I'm done. Although I got to do this all week. I don't know how this happened because my voice was fine yesterday. It started happening around. I don't know, 6:30 or 7, and I was wondering. I shouldn't even tell any of y'all because I'm
dry
right
brisket?
Now. I'm thinking, all right, how is this going to be weaponized against me?
Well, he already dropped a dry brisket on you before
it wasn't that, but it was a package of noodles that you can make from. It's like a Costco package of noodles, and then you put the sauce in. I put some walnuts in. I made some shrimp. Then I put my own like sesame or red chili oil, and I'm wondering if there's something in there that caused my vocal cords to just go sideways because it started getting worse and worse. It is right now again, but I this used to be an issue I had on a daily basis when my acid reflux was really bad. I had an acid reflux surgery after I left here. And went over to the other station. Shortly thereafter, I had acid reflux surgery, which that's my first experience with a catheter. I never want that to happen again in the rest of my life, ever.
No.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Worse than anything ever so far. It's number one. But it did help. I stopped taking my Nexium. I did take some this morning, but I don't know what's going on where you just out of the blue, unless you get sick, but I don't have a fever or anything like that. But I started thinking to myself, I know John's voice has gotten hoarse. Del, I don't think you talk enough. I wonder if you have ever had, if you've ever lost your voice or had a hoarse voice, because I never hear you raise your voice hardly unless you're like going back at one of us back and forth, but you don't yell. You don't have kids to yell at. And then you're not somebody who's just going to get on the phone. You don't strike me as somebody who's just going to sit around for 3 hours just chit-chatting, like just you and the guys in the neighborhood,
miserable.
Just sitting there on a chair, just having a beer.
You guys sit out front, Del,
yeah.
On the lawn chair?
Yeah.
No.
Sit out front and you guys all get together?
No.
Do you do that?
I will point out.
Do you socially distance?
Oh, throughout life. I will point out, for whatever reason, the neighbors, the granny neighbors, they talked all night. I came in at about, I got in for the night at about 10 or so. And some guy was pulling up I'd never seen before. Granny apparently need that action apparently. But and then I got up to go pee and I could still hear them talking. That was about 2 a.m. And when I was leaving the house at about 5:40, they're still talking. So they stayed up all night talking. I don't know what's going on.
A man and a woman sat and talked.
No,
for
it was
hours
a group of people. It wasn't just Granny and the dude. It was a group of people. You could just hear them talking. Like,
did you call police on them?
No, because I'm not that.
Was it a bunch of white people?
Predominantly.
Why didn't you go Karen on them and call the police?
Because you know what would have happened, right? I would have called the police, and the police would have came over to my house and go, this guy broke into this house and hung up pictures of himself everywhere. That's a Dave Chappelle bit. I'm not that funny. That's his deal.
Yeah.
He goes, man. He goes, the cop is talking to the rookie. I saw a case like this once before when I was a rookie too. This black guy, he said, he used a different word, broke into the house, hung up pictures of his family everywhere. Glad we took care of that.
Oh, no. I don't remember that scene. Then again, I'll tell you about Dallas Goedert in a second. I was going on a 1 mile walk, and I said, "Well, a 1 hour walk," and I said, "Let me catch a stand up comedian. I'm going to listen to that." And so I was just looking for stand up comedians I hadn't watched yet, or I mean something I hadn't heard. And I realized, wait a minute, I didn't catch this last Chris Rock. He was from 2017, and so I put it on. Well, I noticed I had started it and watched about the first 10 minutes, so I restarted it and listened to the whole thing. The last Chris Rock was pretty funny. I didn't realize he had gotten divorced. He talks about life after getting divorced, you know, what it's like dating girls now in this era and younger girls. Let me just put it this way. There's some really good stuff that Chris Rock does in this one, but it is 3 years old. I didn't realize it had been out that old. But John, on the recommendation of me, not Dell, because Dell doesn't want to talk to you that much, John.
You're going
to
steal my 000
yeah,
that everyone's a fan of? You're going to steal that from me?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. No, it was Lance.
I found it. No, it wasn't.
I was able to find it.
Oh, yes, it was.
No, I said it on the show. He took.
You didn't tell me. You told Lance about it.
You were on the show when I told him.
I know, but you weren't talking to me. I don't listen to you when you're not talking to me.
So dumb.
Okay? No one does.
But John finished it in 2 days, in two sittings.
Two sittings.
He should be thanking me.
I told you it was that good. Dell was right. I was right about that.
I was right. I was right.
No. I got it from Lance.
No, Lance got it from me, and you're listening to Lance. The only difference is Lance can't go, I don't know, an hour without bringing up the show that he loves again.
I know.
Either it's Bosch or 000.
Yeah.
Wait for the next show.
I'm a 000 guy now. Yeah. I didn't talk about The Spy, but that was a good one. I don't talk about that. That didn't have enough episodes.
The Spy was good. About. It wasn't as good as 000.
Now, 000.
So I, really because good. Of that, I went back and I saw the author. By the way, the author has had an armed bodyguard around him since 2003, I want to say.
The author of what?
The author of 000.
Oh, the book that it was adapted from?
Well, it was, yes, the book that it was adapted from. Actually, the reason that he has a bodyguard is because he wrote something called Gomorrah, which mm-hmm. was about a mafia family in Italy, and so he had a hit out on him because it was so accurate and it was so revealing of how this mafia family is. So I went and I rented Gomorrah, which is on Sundance, and it's Italian. It's Martin Scorsese, and it might be something that he did. I don't know. It's really, really bad and hard to watch. So
what do you mean?
Well, Gomorrah is. It's really, it's hard to describe.
I watched the movie. I watched the movie.
Not a movie.
Rotten Tomatoes
series.
Had it 92%.
Yeah, it's a 10 episodes. Actually, it's more than that.
No.
It's
there's like, a movie and then there's
like
a TV
four
show.
Seasons.
Yeah, there's four seasons. Oh, you saw the movie.
I think the movie is called Gomorrah from 2008.
Yeah, the television show started in 2014. It's four seasons deep.
It's really, really difficult to watch.
Why?
It's so haphazard and so I don't know. I just and it's going absolutely it's going nowhere, and it's got so many storylines that are I don't it's just really
I think it's been a very successful show.
It's been on four seasons.
Yeah, it's got four seasons. I think you got to be Italian to watch it. I mean to speak Italian.
Yeah. Lance is right there. Obviously, there's a movie called Gamora.
I remember
from 2008
downloading that because I was so excited about it.
But I don't know if it's associated with the writer of 000.
It's probably the book, probably adapted by the same from the same book, I would assume.
Well, we don't know, but
yeah, it is. Yes,
it is.
Yes,
but it's really. I don't know about the movie, but the series is very. I mean, it's so slow, so slow.
And apparently, the series is loosely based on the book, so it's not as true to the book as the movie is. So maybe that's one of the problems.
It was Scorsese, so I thought, oh, this is gonna be good, and I paid $12 for it, and I've got through about an hour and a half, and I was like, oh god, this is terrible. So
yeah, but I think the lesson from all this is when Dell says watch something, watch it.
Dell does do a pretty good job of knowing what to watch. Like that show, I'll tell you, 000 is well worth your time because it's so. Well done. Who is your favorite? I think the Federale, the Mexican guy,
one of the vampiros.
Monterey. What's that?
One of the vampiros, Quintero.
Yeah, Quintero. I think that guy is going to get nominated for an Emmy. I think he was really
badass.
Did you catch the final? The final scene, but as she's walking away, did you catch that little
smirk?
Not even the smirk, but the John,
I tell you.
That little twitch of hers.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
What twitch?
Like at the end, she does the thing her brother was doing the entire episode.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, if you watch it, she's after that final meeting.
I thought she tested negative, though.
Well, she did the little thing that her brother had done throughout the entire season. So.
How about the last scene is one of the wildest scenes you'll ever see.
Yeah, she just
as she's talking to him and he's posted up right here.
The two brothers,
the two brothers, that was. And she didn't even. I tell you, she's a boss.
She didn't blink the whole way.
She's a boss. That's that. She definitely is a boss.
You know what I learned from that movie?
You know what I love?
John never crosses. I hope John never crosses grandfather.
Oh,
or hope Frankie's son never crosses John. Not Frankie, but Frankie or JT.
Did you see the picture of my dad?
And you use words.
I ought to post that on Twitter.
You should. And you use words we can't use to describe them. I mean, I think because you're, Italian, you can say that. I can't say it.
And if you want to see the definition of Goomba, that's my dad. Okay.
And the actor you guys are talking about, his name's Harold Torres, but I think his character's name was Contreras, not Quintero.
Okay.
Manuel Contreras.
I thought it was Quintana.
But apparently it's Manuel. In the show, it's Manuel Contreras, but his. The actor, to give him some credits, Harold Torres. That's
who
his
cares
real
about
name.
That?
Well, I mean, give that guy some flowers for doing a great job.
Everybody is who they are on the. I mean, if I say Joey from Friends, you know immediately who I'm talking
Matt
about.
Matt LeBlanc. Yeah, you're right.
Joey.
Matt LeBlanc, yeah.
No, I don't know who that is.
That's.
If you said Matt LeBlanc, I would say, I'm not sure who that is, but if you said Joey from Friends, I would say, okay, I know who it is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
745 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5, come on, hang with us.
And we're going to talk to John Clay Wolf, John.
Oh, we are? I didn't know we were talking to John Clay Wolf. That makes my day. Is he here with us? He'll be with us
at
in a second,
point.
But well, here's the deal. I was listening to him. Oh my God. Some guy was calling it. I just love your show. I just listen every week. I'm just a big fan. Oh, stop slobbering all over him. But that's what happens. People, you know what? Even if you don't have to sell your car, people listen to the John Clay Wolf show because it's out there. It's out there, people. And it is fun. I'll tell you that those guys like to have a lot of fun. And if you put in, and then, by the way, John Clay Wolf, I was just talking about the guy who called you up this weekend. I just love your show. Slobber, slobber, slobber all over you. I just like to listen. I don't care. I just get up every Saturday and listen to you, slobber, slobber. Did you get stuff all over yourself because of that guy?
Do you think I pay people to say that?
Yes. I'm pretty sure you do.
Did you hear the guy that called in that was the hard ass from Tennessee that was talking about the trailer park and where he lived, and God, it was, if you missed it, we got a podcast for people that don't know what the hell Granado's talking about. That's JohnClayWolf.com. Wait, there's a Facebook page called John Clay Wolf Show. And it's our podcast from Saturdays. But it gets pretty damn funny. It really does. Yeah, we get these redneck callers from all over the country, and they just say some of the damnest things.
they really do. But I had to turn it off so you two could be alone because I was like, oh, I don't want to sit in the corner and watch like a cuck. So, anyway, but by the way, you do buy cars, right?
We do, and we're buying really high. The prices have gone up. I don't know. My kids to camp yesterday down to South Texas and back from Dallas, driving through all these towns, and you see the dealerships in each town, Marble Falls, et cetera, et cetera. They're out of cars, these stores, and you guys notice it too. Look at the dealerships when you drive by them today and notice the lot is only 20 of new cars, 20% full. So that's driven the prices up on the used cars because they quit making new cars in March when the factories closed down for Corona. Now we're seeing the effect and they don't have any new cars to sell. So everybody, they want to buy used cars to fill their lot spots. So the market's high. I can pay more. Give me the VIN.com. There's cars right now, the prices have gone up so much, we're paying what we were paying a year ago.
Wow. Wow. How about that? So go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back on ESPN 97.5. So it looks like, hey guys, it's so awesome. Baseball is going to be back. Man, I'm just so excited. Hearing, the guys are getting together. Everything is great. That's all they want to do is play baseball. I don't care about anything else. It's the game. It's the sport. It's not about anything except let's get out there and let's go play ball. And it's just been so awesome to follow this whole thing all the way through. And it looks like they're going to get a deal together. Looks like they're going to play 60 games. It's going to be awesome. And if they don't play an entire, it's just, it's not convoluted. It's not embarrassing. It's been great for the sport. I think everybody's 100% behind baseball now. I just think it's congratulations to baseball and the offseason that they've had and the coronavirus that they've had. Just been awesome. So congratulations to baseball because you're so great. By the way, we haven't even talked about Mark Teixeira's stuff. Mark Teixeira said that the Yankees were using the replay room in real time, getting signs to runners at second base. In real time, using the replay room to get signs to guys on second base to give signs to the hitters. If a guy got on second base, they were in the replay. Well, they were in the replay room before, and they found out what the signs were. And they go back to the replay room, and they see if they're still using the same sequences and the same signs from the guy on second base would get signals, and he would signal those to the hitters, which is, it's not banging trash cans, but it's the same damn thing. It's the same damn thing. You're using real-time video to cheat. Real-time video. So, New York Yankee fans, suck it.
Well, what he said was he said they would use it once there was a man on second.
Right. That's what I said.
Right. But that's not, it's a little different. I'm just preparing you for what the argument's going to be. The argument is going to be, and this is what pisses me off, because it wasn't exactly like the Astros, this is when people say, no, the Astros did it from the dugout with trash cans. It's not the same. Dude, I thought it was about technology. I thought it was using technology to cheat was cheating, but this is a mega cheat, but your cheat isn't a cheat. Your cheat is this is part of baseball. It's been going on for years. But because the Astros did it with a trash can in the dugout, that was actual cheating.
No.
I thought it was about technology. But you're going to watch when this – everyone's going to argue. Why isn't this blown up, John? Can you tell me why this didn't blow up?
I have no idea.
I saw it come out the other day. It didn't blow up.
Yeah. So I thought personally it was BS because by the time they decoded and would get it to me from second base, my at-bat was over or the pitcher and catcher changed the signs. They were wrong more than they were right. That actually happened also with the Astros.
Yes.
They were wrong plenty of times.
Yes, do the math. Look how long it takes for a call, for the sign to be called to a pitch. And with any mixing of signs and disguising the signs, I mean, come on. The idea that the Astros had every pitch that was coming in is preposterous. Mm-hmm. Preposterous. You have 1 second to decipher. From the time that the pitcher comes set, gets the signs, I mean, maybe a second and a half at most. It was always preposterous to act like there was some kind of magic situation where it was instantaneously decoded and sent to the hitter.
His argument is the Astros took that to a whole new level. They used an algorithm in real time to decode and bang on trash cans. So you mean all you're saying is they were better at it, is what you're saying. That's all you're saying. What you're saying is the Astros were just better at it. But you guys had a guy in the replay room. You were decoding the signs, and if you felt like the signs hadn't changed, you relayed that to the guy on second, and the guy on second got it to the hitter. So that's just because the Astros were good at it, they took it to a whole new level. You mean they were smarter than you? That's what you're saying.
Yes.
You still used the replay room and real-time video to try to cheat. But they were just better at it. So they're bad, but we're not. What a bunch of a-holes. What a bunch of a-holes baseball is. Baseball is an a-hole. Okay? That's what baseball is. Baseball, suck it. Baseball, I don't care if
this
you ever play
this is the summer that
baseball.
John completely turned on baseball, Dell. It's the summer that John quit on baseball and went over to the Premier
baseball
League.
Baseball sucks. Baseball sucks.
How about Korean baseball?
Baseball, you can suck it. Because
does Korean baseball suck?
Because the Yankees weren't as good at it. Because they weren't as smart, because they didn't decode as well, because they didn't get it relayed to the hitters as well, that it's not as bad. It's just not as egregious as what the Astros did. Suck it, baseball. Just because you were dumber than the Astros, just because you didn't have it do it as well as the Astros, you still used real-time video to try to cheat. So, baseball, suck it. So I can't tell you how baseball sucks. Have I made that clear yet?
I feel like we get it, but okay. I don't mind you saying it. Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Although I'm actually more excited about a potential baseball season than I've ever been. You give me 60 games, a quote-unquote sprint to the finish. Give me all that. Then baseball, you can adopt this. Hey, you know what would be great? 60-game schedules all the time.
Well, I don't think they're going to adopt 60-game schedules all the time. I'm pretty sure that's not happening. Unless they get 90,000-seat stadiums.
And you know what what one of baseball's preeminent writers writing about today instead of the Yankees? And so Tim Kirchen's talking about Bobby Cox and his metal spikes.
Well, as well he should. Who doesn't want to know about a manager that's no longer with us? Is he dead?
I don't know.
It's Bobby Cox.
Odds are against him, but I think he's still here.
Yeah, whatever. Who doesn't want to hear about the spikes he wore as a manager? Who cares? That's baseball. Let's not talk
that
about
man's still
the
alive.
Yankees
cheating. How old do you think Bobby Cox is?
Bobby Cox is...
You're going to miss.
67.
Oh, my God. 79. You're way 79. Off.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that
makes Bobby
sense.
Cox felt like he was 79 when he managed.
Yeah, no, right.
I would have put Bobby Cox on at least 84 right now.
Bobby Cox is from Tulsa. Do you think he went to the rally?
I don't think so.
He wasn't going to be one of many, but do you think he was in Tulsa on Saturday night?
I don't think so. Did you hear about how?
No, because K-pop, everybody was at the Trump rally. Everybody was there.
That's what I was talking
about. That's saying he wasn't there.
You mean outside Dell or inside?
I think
which one are you referring to?
I think both. Really?
Both. Okay.
Yeah. Did you see how many celebrities? Because you know everyone, most celebrities that are outspoken or, you know, not Trump fans. They're like, man, I sold at that place. Like, Pink is like, I think I was there a couple years ago, and I know I sold that place out. They're all taking shots on Saturday night. That wasn't a great crowd. When you have to crush the – you're like, you know what? We got this overflow stage. Average is going to break it down. There's not enough people here for that.
Mm-mm. No, I loved all the comments. I mean, it was a big weekend for Trump, I thought. What with the John Bolton interview and the book coming out now, and what with, you know, the greatest rally ever, a million people. Okay, have you ever had a million people at your rally, Dell? No.
Neither has he. What do you mean?
Yeah. No, he had them on Saturday.
Your rally, Dell?
I've never had a rally.
Okay, well, there you go. So he had more.
That's true, because I've never had a rally. He's had quite a few, yeah.
Your rallies are the worst, Dell.
I've never invited you to one of my rallies.
That's why no one goes.
I don't want you.
That's why your rallies are the worst. You don't invite anyone.
I don't want your kind at my rally.
See? You don't invite anyone to your rallies. That's why you're never going to do. You're never going to.
What kind, Dell?
The kind who has corona throat.
I'm pretty sure that's racist.
No. You didn't let me finish.
Corona throat.
I don't want corona throat at my rally.
Corona throat feels real right now.
It does kind of feel real. 713-780-3776, 759, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
I want to tell you about my man, Craig DeSurf, making it happen for you. And here's the first thing that you need to know. There are certain vehicles. Now, remember, there's limited stock right now. The inventory is limited anywhere you're going to go around the city of Houston. They are in Angleton. They will deliver absolutely free directly to your doorstep here in Houston. That's not a problem. You can search their inventory. Right now, they're at 111 vehicles. I know because I go to LanceZCars.com. Any make or model, you can look for new vehicles. You can look for low-mileage pre-owned vehicles. If you have a vehicle that you want to sell that has, you know, a relatively low amount of miles, they are buying, and they are offering aggressive pricing for that right now. And they want to get your vehicle and then, you know, have an opportunity for you to take a look at something new that they have. And they have, for example, the Buick, and I've been telling you about this. They've got the Buick Encore GX. It's brand new. It is a sporty, compact kind of crossover. And I think it's got the crossover design. It's more of a compact vehicle. But it really handles great, and the price is incredible. You've got to check out the pricing and the dealer financing and dealer cashback offers they have right there online at LanceZCars.com. This is a chance to really get a fantastic car at a very reasonable price in the market today. Get the vehicle that you want at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save